Hi, hello everyone. This is Rajiv Escana for the Losses of Rajiv Escana, PC, immigration.com. Today is October 6, 2011. This is a community conference call that we are hosting to answer questions posed by members of our community. Attending this call does not make you our client, nor does it make us your lawyer. There is no obligation either way. This call is merely an information session. The call is being recorded. If you need to keep your identities confidential, please do so. This call will be made available generally to the public. With that said, let me start with the questions that we have already had posted. Question number one from Colin. Do you recommend filing new EB2 PERM filing through a new employer in future without being on their payroll? Does this process have more chances of getting audited? No. No. The U.S. Department of Labor is not likely to audit you, as far as I know, just because it's a future employment case. Would this process have any complications even in the I-140 stage? It can. The biggest problem is the employer has to demonstrate the ability to pay wages. So let's say the green card salary is $110,000. If you were already working for that employer, it will be easier for them to show because they are paying you something. And if that something is $110,000, then they're already paying you what they're supposed to pay. But if that something that they're paying you is $70,000, they only have to show $50,000 more. But when it's a situation where you're not working for that employer at all, they have to show the entire $110,000. And that can get problematic for many companies. Okay. Next question, Suresh Male, green card for kids delivered in India. Got my green card in August 2011, sponsored my wife who's in India. Never came to U.S. What if we have a kid before she gets her green card? Well, if she has a child before she gets her green card, the child will get the green card with her. Okay. If the child is born after she gets her green card, I think, if I remember correctly, we looked into this issue many years ago, even if the child is conceived before she gets her green card, the child should be able to get the green card as following to join with her. Okay. So you double-check that. You can send an email to the U.S. consulate, wherever you guys are going to go apply for the green card. Send an email to them. I remember this vaguely, that the last time we spoke with the consulate, it was that if the child is conceived before she gets her green card, the child will get the green card almost with her. Okay? Next question. Got green card from Tamil Singham. Do I need to stick with the current employer for 6 months? I have a blog entry on this question. Please read, go to my blog on forums.immigration.com and look for this entry under employees' rights. How soon can I leave after I get my green card? And if you still have questions, ask me. I'm also planning to start my own Inc. and start working as an independent consultant. Is there any restriction on working as an independent consultant for a green card person? No. No. Once you have your green card and you've worked with the employer for a few months, you are free. You can do whatever you want, work or not work also. AKS341 wants to know, what are my options to stay in U.S. after my I-20 expires as an F-1 student? And since you cannot get OPT, your only option is, you have used 3 years, 3 months of the 6 years of H-1. Just go to H-1. That's the best you can do. Okay? Otherwise, you can go back to school if you have a genuine need to do so. Sikandar says, applying for parents' green card. I'm a U.S. citizen thinking about possibility of working overseas. Can I apply for GC for both my parents while I'm overseas? As I remember, the answer is yes. Do I need to be present in U.S. at the time of applying? The answer is no, from what I remember. Okay, and the way it works is, before they come to USA, you have to be back here domiciled in USA. Because the consulate, when they look at the affidavit of support that you have given for your parents, at that point, they either want you to be already domiciled in USA, or they want to see that you've taken steps, firm steps, to establish yourself in USA. Okay? Do I need to show income to be able to support my parents if they take up residence in US? Yes, you do need to show income. Do I need to be living in and working for an American company in USA? You don't, as long as you can show enough money. If I work overseas, then do I need to be working specifically for an American company? There is no such requirement of the law. Okay. Next question, Du Hong 101 wants to know, affidavit of support. Mom's interview back home today, so I'm assuming that the interview was in your home country. I am a United States citizen. When I filed papers to NBC, my husband is still working. He lost his job. My income was not sufficient. I was informed that I had to get a new sponsor. So you got a new sponsor. During the interview, she forgot to give this new affidavit of support. She was only asked who sponsored her. She passed the interview. When she called me and told me that she had passed the interview, I asked if she gave the new documents. She said she forgot. Okay. But if they have already passed her, then I am not concerned. Okay? And remember, if they mistakenly declined the green card, then you can at that point, another thing you can do is, why don't you, I'm trying to think, if you can just send them an email. Now, this might delay the green card issuance, but at least it will put something in writing. You could send an email to the consulate saying, oh, by the way, we also had an affidavit of support that was asked for, and if you need it, we can submit it. Okay, something like that. That way you have something in writing that shows that you offer to provide the information. Okay? So send an email to the consulate. Last question for today is from Musaman 02, who wants to know, how should I answer part 10, question 16 and 400? Well, first of all, sir, ma'am, we cannot help you in answering questions about how to fill a form. But generally speaking, just keep this in mind. Generally speaking, when in doubt, always give more information than less. That's all I can tell you. Generally speaking, give more information than less. If you have any doubt, they see attach a statement saying this is what happened. Let them do what they want to do with it. They have all the information anyway. Okay? So like you are in doubt about the $500 of the courts charges and traffic, just document it. It's better to give more information, at least for naturalization, than less. I'm sorry, I can't help you answer a specific question, but I think I kind of gave you enough of a guideline that you can work with it. Okay? Now, guys, this was pretty much the questions I had for today. It only took us about 10 minutes to cover those. Let's see if people have any follow-up questions on this. Press star 5 on your phone if you have any follow-up questions on what I have talked about so far. Star 5 on your phone. Press star 5. One person. Okay. All right. Let me take that one person's call. Area code 203. Go ahead, please.
This is AKS 341. I posted a question about F1 student and my I-20 will expire on December 23rd.
Sure.
So I spoke with the international office of the university and they said that I have 2 months of grace period after my I-20 expires.
Yes, you do. 60 days.
Okay. Yeah, 60 days. So if I find a job during that 60 days after the end of I-20, can I apply for a H-1B visa? Would there be any problems? Or
there was a time when USCIS used to say that if you file for an H-1 kind of change of status during those 60 days, we will not give you change of status. We will ask you to go home to get a visa stamping. However, lately, they have gone back on that, and I have seen many, many approvals that were filed in that 60-day period. So the answer is probably yes, you should be able to get your H-1 within U.S.
Okay, so there is a probably in this situation if this happens.
I think it's a probably simply because I cannot tell you for sure that
right.
If you are not covered by that, you know, OPT cap-gap situation,
right.
I still believe that you should be allowed to change status within that 60 days. However, I cannot point you to any specific legal opinion from the USCIS on it.
But if they deny my change of status, what will be my...
You have to go outside USA for a visa stamping before you can start working.
Okay. If I do not find a job within those 60 days, can I apply for a visitor visa during those 60 days?
I think it's a bad idea because you probably will be declined, and the answer is still the same. Any change of status during that 60 days period should be granted, in my opinion, but I cannot point you to a particular legal source for this opinion.
Okay. So, as I understand, recently USCIS has been granting approvals to change of status to H-1B, but a visitor visa change of status is probably even more unlikely.
That is correct, because the visitor visa is just a much, much more precarious application than an H-1B.
Right. Okay. So should I apply for a visitor visa before the end of I-20? Because in that case, I am still on...
You realize that your status as a student is not governed by your I-20. It is governed by as long as you are taking full-time classes.
Yes, but I'll finish my full-time classes in December.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure that you were aware of that. Now, the question that you had for me is, should I apply for a tourist visa before those 60 days? Yeah, you could do that. I don't see any problem in it. Just make sure if you apply for an H-1 and it gets approved, be very, very sure to withdraw that tourist visa.
Okay. Okay.
Because otherwise, you get an H-1 approval, then a tourist visa approval. You're back on tourist visa.
Right. Okay. So I should apply for that tourist visa before the end of my I-20, which is December 23rd, or during that 60-day grace period?
Well, before the grace period kicks in.
Before the grace period kicks in. Okay.
That may have a marginal advantage for you.
Okay. All right.
Good luck.
Okay. Thanks, Rajiv.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Folks, any other follow-up questions, press star 5. Okay, area code 480, go ahead, please.
Yes, sir. This is question number 3, Suresh Male.
Mm-hmm.
If my kid delivered before my wife got the green card, what is the procedure to add the kid? Any idea?
Just contact the consulate. They'll tell you what papers to file.
Consulate in India?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Even after
your wife is in India, I'm assuming, right?
Yes, she is in India.
Yeah, you'll contact the consulate in India. They will take care of it for you.
Yeah, in either case, right? Before she gets the...
Oh, before or after, you will have to contact the consulate.
Oh, okay. Yeah, thank you.
Doctor, bye-bye.
Bye.
Area code 317, go ahead, please. Area code 317-640. Area code 717, go ahead, please.
Hi, Rajiv.
I cannot hear you. Can you speak up a little bit, please?
Hi, Rajiv. This is Coley. I have one quick question regarding the question that I posted first one.
All right. What is the question?
If I have my labor audited from my employer, can I file another labor while the first one is in process through the audit process?
Yes. If it's through different employers, you can file 10 different labor suits.
But, I mean, through the same employer?
No. Much more complicated. You cannot apply for the same employer for the same position, for the same location, while another one is going on.
Oh, do they have to do anything to cancel the existing I-140?
Do they have to existing
I-140?
Like, we're talking about firm.
Like any extra fee or anything that sort?
So your question is, does the employer need to pay an extra fee to revoke an I-140 that's already been approved?
Correct.
No.
I mean, is there any mandatory rule from USCIS saying that as soon as the employee leaves the company, they will have to revoke the I-140 just like H-1?
No, there is no such rule for the I-140, but it makes sense because it makes their proof of ability to pay wages easier for everybody. So it makes sense for them to do it, but it's not required.
Okay, that's all. Thank you.
Good luck. Bye-bye. Area code 805. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Rajiv. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
My name is Sash. I'm a British passport holder, and we did discuss this last time, but one of the questions I forgot to ask you was, as you know, there are two options, a fiancé visa for me to go back for my partner to apply in the USA. My partner is a U.S. passport holder. One question I forgot to ask you was that for me to go back to UK and for my partner to come to UK to get married in UK, then she has to apply for the spouse visa. In the time when she's applying for the spouse visa, can I come over to USA to stay with her?
If she applies, when you say spouse visa, do you mean K-3 or I-130, green card? What exactly are you talking about?
K-3, the green card.
Probably not a good idea to visit during that time. I'm assuming you're saying visit basically using the visa waiver program, correct?
That is correct, yes. I'm here on the visa waiver for the US, for the UK passport holders.
I would certainly think it's not a good idea because the CBP can turn you back at the airport.
So the two options are either the fiancé visa or the spouse visa. That is, if I were to get married here in the U.S. and go back to U.K. straight away.
Look, I don't recall our conversation. Remember, in 2 weeks I've talked to probably close to 100 people or more. So I really don't remember what your case was.
Sure.
I cannot comment about what you're planning, but what you asked me is, can I visit while the K-1 or K-3 is going on? The answer is no. It's not a good idea.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. Area code 410. Go ahead, please.
Hi. My question is, I am in a status of filing the adjustment of status.
Okay. You have not posted your question, right?
No.
Let me put you on hold for just 1 second. I want to make sure that I get all the posted questions first.
Okay.
Guys, anybody who has posted a question has a follow-up, press *5. Okay. Now, other than area code 410, I already have you on the call list. Anybody who has any question, press *5. Anybody who has any question, doesn't have to be a follow-up. Anyone who has any question, press *5. Two people, very good. Oh, no, four people. Okay, let's see how many we can do. Area code 410, go ahead, please.
Hi, I am in a status of I got the priority date current. I'm going to file my 485, and my wife visa status is something a little bit confusion for me. She came to US on H-4, and we applied H-1 through another company. And during that process, the company received the approval notice, but they didn't inform us saying that they got the approved paper. So she has to go to.
Did they get a change of status for her?
Sorry?
Did they get a change of status for her?
Yes, they said that they were in the process of, they applied H-1, they got the approval notice, but we didn't receive the final 797 paper.
I'm not understanding my question. You can get an H-1 approval without getting a change of status. I mean, there is no conceivable reason for anybody to file it like that. Well, there is conceivable reason. But most companies who have the employee already in USA would not file the case like that. So the first question that needs to be answered is, was a change of status from H4 to H1 approved?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Now.
And she has to go to India very urgently for 2 weeks. So she left the country and then came back on H4 because that time there was no physically the approved papers with us.
All right.
So she came back on H4 and then immediately the employer didn't inform us, hey, you came back on H4. We have to do some kind of any conversion process or anything. They said, hey, you can start work on it on the H1. So she started working on that H1 for nearly 2 years. And then once that H1 got over, we changed back to H4 on my dependency because of the to handle the kids. So now she's on H4 for the last 3 years.
Right.
Can I go ahead and file the adjustment of status?
Let me ask you this question. When was the last time she traveled outside USA?
That was when the 2006 period when she got the first H4.
So you're talking about when she went for emergency and came back?
Yes, that time.
Okay. The only thing that is safe for you is for her to travel outside USA and come back in again, then file the 485. Hello?
Hello, yeah.
So,
but
if she does, because she's been out of status for over 2 years, if she does not do what we are suggesting, she would be barred from adjusting status. But if she travels outside and comes back in and then applies, she should be okay.
But is there any possibility like they may find this issue in a bigger way when she goes for a stamping?
Oh, no. You know what she can also do? I'm wondering if this would work. I'm wondering, why can't she just go to Canada and come back? She doesn't need a visa if the trip is less than 30 days.
Uh-huh.
She could go to Canada and come right back. I think that'll work. Discuss it with your lawyers, but I'm pretty sure that'll work.
She doesn't have to stamp in Canada?
No.
Okay.
Do a Google on something called automatic visa revalidation.
Uh-huh.
Automatic visa revalidation. The law is if somebody visits Canada, Virgin Islands, or Mexico for less than 30 days, they don't need a visa.
So the latest I-94 will get into the record. That's what you are suggesting.
Well, unfortunately, when you go for less than 30 days, they do not issue you a new I-94.
Okay.
Okay. One of the things I would suggest is for her to make a purchase of 2 or 3 things in Canada with a credit card. Okay. That shows that she was in Canada.
Okay.
All right. That's one thing I would do. Second thing is I would try to surrender the I-94. Have her travel by air, surrender the I-94, and on the way back in, just ask for a new I-94.
But you won't be having the stamping, so will they give?
I'm pretty sure that should work. It's worked for some of our clients. Okay. But at the very least, she should just travel outside, go do some purchases in Canada so that she has proof that she was outside USA. And re-enter.
Well, that way she can fix that earlier, the gap in the status issue.
I think so.
Okay.
You know, I think so. Of course, if she goes to India and gets a new visa and comes back, there is no problem. Also, the fact that she was out of status for 2 years may not become a big issue because she's not done anything deliberately.
Mm-hmm.
It was inadvertence. This is one of the few instances where the fact that you made a mistake may actually save you and not cause you big problems.
Okay. Okay. So okay. That. But if we go to India, can we justify our thing saying that if the H4?
Oh yes. I had a case in which a physician was out of status for 4 years, I think.
Mm-hmm.
What happened was this was a hospital system out in California.
Mm-hmm.
They were paying all their physicians, foreign physicians, almost 400 or 500 physicians, on 1099s instead of W-2s. Now, that puts you out of status because you're not supposed to be an independent contractor. You're supposed to be an employee.
Mm-hmm.
So we did send him back to Philippines where he was from, and he was able to get his H-1 visa stamping, no problem.
Oh.
Of course, it was disclosed to the consulate that you know, he had been out of status for almost 4 years.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So, okay, we'll try the.
But I want to warn you about one thing. These days, uh-huh. getting H-4 visa stamping is not easy in general. Not specifically because of your wife's case, but in general, it's not easy. Are you working at a client site or in-house for a company?
A client site.
Yeah, client site placements, they are giving a lot of trouble. What they do?
No, my H-1 is on the directly with the company.
See, directly with the company, you're not working at a client site.
No. I'm directly with the county government company.
Then she should be okay getting her H-1 visa H-4 visa stamp.
Okay.
All right.
That's great. Thank you.
Good luck.
Bye.
All right. Let's see. Area code 317. Go ahead, please. 317. Okay. I have done this the second time. You are not talking to me. Next question, 402, area code 402. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Raji, sir. How are you?
Good, sir.
I want to know what can be done when the I-140 is in the appeal stage with AAO, Administrative Appeals Office. I would like to briefly give you my case history, if that's okay with you.
Sure, go ahead.
My labor approval, my priority date was November 2004. I-140 was filed and approved in 2007. 485 was filed in 2007 when the dates became current. Now, in 2009, we got an intent to revoke notice from the USCIS. They wanted to revoke my I-140, which was already approved in 2007. And the reason was, why was I working in Nebraska instead of Illinois, where my company is headquarters. Now, I've been with the same employer for the past 8 years, but I was working for them in the Nebraska office. So we got the intent to revoke RFP, and my attorney responded with all the documents. As you know, if I'm on H-1, I can work from any city. It doesn't really matter because I'm supposed to move to Illinois, the headquarters of the company, once I get my permanent residence. But still, it was not really convincing for them, and we got the I-140 revocation in April 2010. We filed a motion to reopen, reconsider. It was denied. And now finally we filed an appeal in June 2010. Now it's sitting at AAO for over more than a year now. I know the processing time are really bad for the appeal. My attorney also suggested that I should move with my family to Illinois, which we did last year, and file an amended I-140 and 485 based on the original labor, which worked. We got the receipt notice for the I-140, the 485, EAD, and we also went for a new fingerprinting in Illinois. Now my question is, I mean, what can we do on the appeal? I mean, would you suggest that I should talk to the ombudsman or a local senator or a congressman to follow up on that appeal?
Hang on one second. Was your second I-140 approved?
No, we got a letter from the Nebraska Service Center that they will not work on the second I-140 because my first I-140 is in the appeal stage with AAO. Either I should withdraw that appeal or I should just stick with that appeal. And they'll just hold it in abeyance. That's what they said.
It's a difficult question to answer.
No, it's a complicated case, no doubt.
Yeah, it's a very difficult question to answer.
My question is, I mean, what can be done? Should I just wait for the... I'm still on H-1. I think this is my 10th year. I just recently extended my H-1 based on the appeal.
It's very unlikely that you can expedite the appeal. Okay?
Okay.
Very unlikely. So, really, it doesn't look like we have much of a choice other than to sit and wait or to withdraw. Those are the only two questions you have.
Yeah, but if I withdraw, it might affect my H-1 extension, right, which I recently did based on the appeal?
No. Once the extension is given, they don't take it back.
So can I withdraw it and then allow the Nebraska Service Center to work on my amended I-140?
I just told you that's a very difficult question for me to answer. Because if you withdraw it, you are basically giving up the right to appeal that old case.
Right.
But if you don't withdraw it, then they're going to sit on your new case forever.
Right.
Okay. Tough choice, depends upon how aggressive you want to get. Frankly, if it was my case, I would withdraw the appeal. But it's really, it's not a good judgment call because it's an entirely personal preference. I don't think I can give you much law on this. I would withdraw it if I were you.
Withdraw it and then allow the second I-140 to go on?
Yes, sir. But again, I don't know your case. I'm just shooting from the hip. If the case is clearly approvable, it makes sense to withdraw the appeal.
Yeah. No, it was a location issue. I don't know if you've come across this kind of issue before.
Well, sir, we don't because we plan for these things. When you're filing from the corporate headquarters, you make it clear that we are filing from the corporate headquarters. This is the way it works. The law says, we have all these clients who are consulting companies. Their employees work 6 months one place, 3 months another place. How do we deal with it? We make it clear that the job is located in the corporate headquarters, but the relocation is possible all over the United States.
Correct.
If you do that, you don't run into this issue at all.
Yeah, but I've heard about ability to pay and, you know, education and those kind of things, but location issue was the first ever my attorneys, you know, came across it.
The reason we don't run into location issues is because we plan for it. So, of course, there are things that USCIS can do that nobody can plan for, but these are things that are known problems, so we plan for them. That's
so your suggestion would be to withdraw the appeal at this point of time?
Sir, I don't know your case, but if the location was the only issue and it's an easily winnable issue, then that's what you should do.
Okay. I would like to actually, you know, do a private consultation with you.
Go to the Contact Us form on our website.
Yes.
And just send an email saying that I want to do a consultation with Rajiv. And what I will need to look at is probably your entire case. So
right.
I probably need a good hour of time to go over everything and make sure that, withdrawing the appeal makes sense. Okay?
Sure.
Just contact, or you can just send me an email directly to help@immigration.com.
I'll do that. Just to let you know, my name is Kamal, and in case probably you'll remember me once I email it to you.
I will remember you, Kamal.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Because Rajiv in Hindi also means Kamal.
Achha, I didn't know that.
Rajiv Kamal ke phool ko bolte hain.
Lotus, mujhe malum hai, but I didn't know about Rajiv. I mean, Kamal, I know Lotus, and in Arabic actually Kamal means perfect. So aapka naam bhi perfect.
Hamare yahan to Kamal Hindi mein hota hai, Sanskrit ka jo word hai na. To Kamal and Rajiv is the same thing. They are all names of lotus flowers.
So aap mujhe zarur help kijiye aur ye lafde se nikaliye.
Nahi, lafda to yaar Bhagwan nikalega. Mera kaam to koshish karna. I can take a look at it and I can give you my professional opinion on what needs to be done.
I'll definitely email you at help@immigration.com and main aapko pura apna case history bhej dunga and we'll talk in detail. Thank you so much.
I need to know a lot more about your case to give you an informed decision.
Yes, I appreciate it.
Good luck, Kamalji.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Folks, area code 317. Okay, you're still not talking to me. All right. Last question is area code 845. Go ahead, please, 845.
Yeah. Hi, Rajiv. I was talking to you in the, I guess, beginning of the call. And
16-year-old child, if he comes to...
Right. He's studying in India.
Okay.
And I was talking to you about the reentry permit.
Right. We talked
earlier.
About that. Last time where we left off was we had a question about naturalization.
Correct. And actually, before we go to naturalization, a quick question on the reentry. His reentry permit expires March 7th of 2012. So he will be fine even if he comes on March 6th or March 7th, like.
Yes.
He should be fine. Okay.
We'll be fine.
Now,
the only problem, ma'am, is this. If
mm-hmm.
he comes and he then leaves. Okay.
Say that again?
If he comes and then he leaves
right.
and he
right.
doesn't have enough of time left on his second entry.
Permit. Understood.
Then
you
have a problem. All
right. Right. Got it. Now, a question related to citizenship was we got our green card in April 2008. So based on that, I'll be eligible to apply for citizenship in, I would say, around late January 2013.
Right.
And my son will be turning 18 years in August 2013.
Okay.
So if I get my citizenship in time,
turns 18.
Would
I don't know.
Sorry?
I don't know the answer to that question. I can only tell.
Right, whether I will be able to get it. Right.
I don't know what the timing details on N600 are, so I couldn't answer that question. Sorry.
Right, but let's say if I get my citizenship, right, in time that he's not yet 18 years old. Let's assume that happens.
I can't answer. I know what your next question is. What if we apply before he's 18 and then he turns 18 while the case is pending? I don't know any of these answers because I haven't looked at the law. These are such fine-grained issues of the law, I could not tell you. My expertise is in business and professional immigration. I can tell you.
Okay.
Everything else, okay, people take care of in the firm, I just give general guidelines. So.
Okay. Because I was reading through these forms and instructions, and it seems, okay, if I am a citizen, he automatically becomes a citizen if there's a clause there. If he regularly resides in the United States, in the legal and physical...
We are discussing this rather uselessly because I can't answer it.
Okay.
I don't know the answer.
Okay.
We'd have to have somebody look it up for us.
Okay, no problem. I appreciate your time.
My pleasure. Good luck.
Thank you. Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Hello,
Rajiv,
sir.
Yeah, go ahead.
I have a quick question, actually.
Yeah.
I'm a student of, actually initially I was a travel student and then I moved on to UNVA.
Okay.
And when the UNVA incident happened, you know, when there was a head on the UNVA student and the UNVA school,
right.
I moved from that school into a different school.
All right.
Before moving to the other school, I contacted you whether if I can move and withdraw my reinstatement application. So you said that I can withdraw my reinstatement application, go to the new school and apply the reinstatement once again.
Right.
So I have withdrawn the application. I have withdrawn my reinstatement application from UNVA 6 weeks back.
All right.
And within 2 weeks, I joined in the new school. And
right.
When my DSO contacted the service said it seems that, you know, they need to transfer the they need to transfer my record manually, and
right.
It will take some time. It's been 3 weeks. My DSO is in contact with service, but still, you know, they have not yet transferred the service. They are saying still it's in process. So my
right.
question is, it's been 6 weeks, I have withdrawn my reinstatement application from UNVA.
Right.
So I don't know, like, how much time it takes for the service to transfer to transfer the record to the new school. So my question is, since it's been 6 weeks and I'm still waiting for the service to transfer my old record to the new school, so is there any time frame wherein I can, within which I need to apply for the reinstatement from the new school?
Reinstatement, they say, should be filed within 5 months of when you have fallen out of status. But if you have exceptional circumstances, it can be filed beyond 5 months. Okay. So,
right. Actually, in my case, I'm sorry. Go ahead, please.
So my guess is, I can only guess at this point of time, my guess is that they will accept the application once the service record is available. I hope so.
Okay. And when I have withdrawn my reinstatement application from UNVA, they have given me a document which shows that this is the date I have withdrawn my application, and it has all the details of mine. I'm from the UNVA school. So my question is, do I need to still write any letter to the Vermont Center saying that I'm withdrawing my application, or there is no need of that?
How did you withdraw the application?
I withdrew the application by going to my school DSO, and my school DSO has done that. They had access to the service website, I believe. And,
I think you should send a letter to Vermont Service Center as well.
Oh, okay.
And the letter should say that effective that date, my DSO has withdrawn the application for reinstatement. I'm just sending this letter to confirm for the record that this application for reinstatement was withdrawn as of this date.
Okay, so actually, I can write even now, right? Actually, because it's been 5 weeks.
You're just writing to confirm. You're not writing to withdraw.
Okay. And one other quick question is, you know, just in case, if there is any H1 opportunity, do you prefer me applying for an in-house project or for a project at a client place? You know, some of the consultancies, they do
in-house.
H1, but they send
if they have a good project and they can demonstrate that they have a project in-house.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Good luck.
I think that is fine. And
right.
One other question is,
yeah.
Just in case, you know, just in case, if I happen to go to India for any urgency, you know, can I come back? Can I come back to the new school? Or
using
do
the
I
same visa?
Have
no. Using the same visa? No. With a new visa? Yes.
Oh. Oh.
Okay.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Thank you for your time. I'm glad once I get my I-20 or the ones where record gets transferred, I'll send my all documents to you and we can...
Surely. We'll be happy to assist.
Thank you.
Good luck to you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, folks. Looks like that's all the questions we have for the day. Good talking with all of you and good luck. I'll see you in 2 weeks.